Hello, beautiful humans. Before we start the podcast, I want to give a huge, huge shout out to Nutty Selections, who sponsored this episode. They sell a variety of nuts, which you can choose and customize and combine into one pack, or you can buy their pre-made trail mix, which I did. Inside, it's got cashews, almonds, pecans, macadamia, dried cranberries, sunflower, pumpkin seeds, walnuts, and many more. All of which promote heart healthy fatty acids, things like protein, magnesium, vitamin E, valuable nutrients. I mean, take pumpkin seeds for example. It improves your bladder health plus your prostate health. What else are you looking for? Check them out on Instagram and Facebook. Get on there, choose your nuts, get it delivered, and get it in your belly. Discarte Weekly is an independently produced Filipino podcast featuring artists, content creators, entrepreneurs, makers, and professionals from various fields. We explore their beginnings, experiences, wins, mishaps, and the discarte deploy to get where they are or where they're headed. That or kaswalang pentuhan lang. I'm a YouTube fan of your place.
Oh, cool.
You can fairly say I literally grew up there around that area. In terms of age and waistline, because
me as well. My waistline as well.
Where are you from?
I was born here, but I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, cool. And you went back for after how long?
I moved here in 2017. In hopes to start my own food and beverage consulting business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I came across the partners of Bugsy's.
Mm-hmm.
I started out with them as a consultant, mm-hmm, on a contractual basis.
Mm-hmm.
This was middle of 2017. We made a good run at it, finished 2017 pretty strong, and shortly after that, they offered me a partnership in the business. So,
whoa, they liked you that much, hey?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess I must have done something right?
Great. Let's deep dive a little bit on how you began on your career. Did it begin with food initially, or what was the journey in the beginning?
No, actually, I went to college. With a hotel, more of a front office, front desk operations, mm-hmm, gear. So I was more focused on the front of the house of the hotel side of things, which is completely separate from food and beverage.
Right.
So that was what I was very technical in front desk operations and concierge. But it wasn't until 2008 in the United States where a recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
And my position at the front desk of the hotel that I was working at the time cut my position. And I was actually moved by accident, or not by accident, but because of the recession, there was more need in the food and beverage area. And obviously I needed a job. I needed to keep working. So
yeah,
I took it with a lot of hesitation, but you know, my boss at the time, who became my mentor, he said, "Listen, all you need for food and beverage is a good personality. You need to know, you need to like to eat, and you need to like to drink." And he's like, "That's the secret of it all." So, you know, and he taught me all the ins and outs of the business side of things, because he was more of a really natural of his hospitality, meaning like how he greeted the guests and how, you know, personalized service and,
mm-hmm,
a genuine caring attitude in serving good food and good beverage, you know. Mm. So that came second nature. The challenge for me at that time was switching from, you know, one part of the hotel into food and beverage. And from then on, I loved it. Everything that my boss told me in the beginning made perfect sense, you know, hospitality, serving, you know, food, serving beverage, comes from the heart, you know, natural. He said, think of it as you're hosting a dinner party at your house, or parang in the Filipino side of things. What I always tell my staff here is think of it as parang nagpapainom ka dyan sa bahay niyo. Mm. You always want to make sure your friends have, have a fresh beer.
Yeah.
The beer is cold. You know, the food is hot, the pulutan, you know, and hindi na ubusan, right?
Because,
you know, and I tell my staff, I said, every single table that you serve, if all you have to think of it is ganun lang kailangan yung isipin and everything else is natural. You know, kasi you may think, or someone may think, that, you know, running a restaurant could be challenging. But it's really not. You only need four things to line up if any of the listeners or anybody's looking to open a restaurant. You have to have good location. Mm-hmm. You have to have good food. You have to have good beverage, and you have to have good service. If all those four things line up for you, then, you know, everything will work out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick question this wouldn't be a quick question, but when it comes to training the staff, right?
Yeah.
In hiring, how do you check for their ability or for their capability to be able to give that much empathy towards the client? Because sometimes I feel like people can't be taught that. Sometimes, you know, it has to be, like, it really does begin through hiring and making sure that you get the right people. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. It starts with hiring. And how I was taught and how I've come to kind of master it is I sit down and try and have a casual setting for an interview, because then magre-relax sila, and then I really get to see their natural way of interaction.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know, when you say interview, oh, you have to stand up straight and you have to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they get nervous, and then you're not really seeing their really personable side.
And especially with us Pinoys, and not obviously no dissing on the majority of the Pinoys.
But
for real, they me specifically back in the old days when I was young, I would really try to impress them. One way or another, you know, you act really professional. It's so unnatural.
It is.
And then somewhere along the road,
if you're doing the interview, if I'm conducting the interview, I have to look past that whole facade, right, that they show.
The compliance facade.
Yes. I initially think that, and I want to see their natural reaction to a question that I ask. Cause my interviews go like, it's situational. Mm-hmm. I'll say, okay, it's a Friday night, it's busy. Mm-hmm. You have a regular guest that is coming, wala silang reservation, right? Pero puno na yung table. What are you gonna do, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, if they're doing that whole, oh, I have to be professional and ano, hindi nila masasagot yan.
True,
right?
True.
You know, they won't be able to answer it. But if they're relaxed and somebody that answers it as, oh, you know, what I'll do is I'll get their number and I'll tell them to go have a drink somewhere else. And as soon as something opens up, I'll call them. And if they still want to come in, I'll hold the table for them. I'll hold the spot for them. And that's what it is. You know, I always tell the staff, it's not rocket science what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we take care of the regular guests, and then the new guests, we would just want to make sure that they become regulars. And then that's when, you know, people start coming after that.
You know, go ahead.
No, go, go, go.
You know what's weird is, like, I've been to, obviously, again, just having spent a majority of my working life in Makati, there's a lot of good places there to eat, right? And
Wendy.
And honestly, though, like, from the deepest, bottomest part of my heart, less than 50% of these restaurants value the amount of attention to customer service that we're talking about right now. A lot of the places that I used to go to, ang tataray ng mga tao. I do.
Right.
It blows my mind how.
Yes.
And I always tell this to my friends because I'm a huge, huge fan of customer service, and making sure that, because that's just the way I grew up. My mother, my mother actually is a tour guide for the Japanese, and the way she takes care of her clients and the people that they interact with, man, just superb customer. And so it came so naturally to me that whenever I'd go to a place, I just, you know, just look at how the staff would interact with the people, and also the people, how they interact with the staff, you know, and a lot of them, my gosh, man, it's not a good experience.
You know, bad service you can have good food, you can have good beverage, you can have a great location, but bad service will stick out like a sore thumb.
100%.
It will turn people off.
Yeah.
From what you're doing. And what I always tell the staff, again, is that you don't really have to do a whole lot to give good service. Just be attentive. Just care. Right? Yeah. And that's why I made that analogy of like, imagine if nagpapainom ka sa inyo, you're not gonna, hindi papayag na mauubusan kayo ng beer, hindi ka papayag na hindi malamig yung beer, hindi ka papayag na mauubusan ng pulutan, right? So you have to, and to them, right? And I think with the Filipino, my staff, the challenge with my staff is parang na-OAM sila. Oh, sir, baka masyadong OA pag ganun. No. That's the difference.
See, they're so not used to, they're just not used to it, diba?
Onga. That's the difference, right? You kind of have to be OA. Like you said, your mom's service and how she does her deal is superb. Well, then that I tell my staff, that's the difference from customer service and excellent service. Because customer service is you're doing what they expect. Magtaas sila ng kamay, pupunta ka dun.
Right.
Right? But excellent service is you do not have to wait for them to put their hands up. If you look and makita mo ubos na yung beer nila, nandun na.
Yeah, bro. That's so good. That is so good.
Diba? Hindi na magtataas ng kamay. Yeah. That means that's excellent service. Customer service is you're just doing what they expect you to do. But right. Excellent service, you just have to be able to, you know, you just have to be able to see. And that's and like I told them, I tell the staff, is like, automatic dapat yan. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I always do that analogy. And I try to open that part of their mind up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to your original question with the training. That is my challenge, is that, I trained staff in Boston, in Massachusetts, different kinds. You know, I had staff from Brazil, Mexico, obviously Americans, and that was always a challenge because every culture is different.
Yeah, exactly. I could imagine right now.
Diba?
The way you communicate verbally and physically is completely different from everywhere.
Right. And the challenge for me being the boss or being the director or being the operating, you know, managers, I got to get everybody to kind of get their shields down. Mm-hmm. And get everybody to work together, right? And to think that every single table, ganito yung tingin natin, right?
Going back to just places in Makati, and I can name so many places where, like some of their staff won't even open their mouths, you know?
Right.
Like, but are you? Sometimes they're tired, but then at the end of the day,
not even open their mouths. Some of them don't even smile.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Some of them don't even smile.
How is somebody going to want to go in and eat at your restaurant if, you know, half of your servers that are standing outside don't even smile? So that's the only challenge, I think.
It's crazy. How many staff do you have right now or before the pandemic?
Before the pandemic, I had about 30 staff.
Holy.
Yeah. Which probably about a little less than half of that was working in the kitchen. Everybody else was working in the front.
Wow, you got a huge kitchen. I just remembered my office. Yeah. My office is actually pretty near there. And my boss always goes there, literally just to have a tea. And
oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, he owns he was the CEO, and one time he actually promoted me.
Uh huh.
In your place, they got me drunk there. Way back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they got me drunk probably 2018, and then it turned out to be a pub crawl. Yeah, I just remembered right now. And it surprised me because I hadn't gone back. I had not visited Bugsy's ever since I moved to the other side of Makati.
Oh, okay.
But then I was, I started going to Bugsy's 2020. What year was that? 2010.
Okay, probably. That must have been in Ortigas. Ortigas,
The Ortigas one.
Right.
No. 2011, 2012 was when did the Makati one open?
Makati opened probably about 2012.
Yeah. Yep. We used to go there, and I think this was the time when speakeasies were a thing.
Were a thing.
Yeah.
Well, that was the concept of Bugsy's, right? Was
yeah, completely like
to be a speakeasy. And it turned out to be, you know, what the crowd needed, right?
Exactly. So,
Wala yung speakeasy, and just a bar where
everybody goes. Where there's a lot of headhunters going to that place, which is I remember because that's where I met my headhunter friends, and I went there probably up until 2015.
Okay.
Probably 2015, and then I stopped going there, and then by 2018, when I went there again for to meet the CEO of the company.
Yeah.
Wow, the place has completely changed.
Yeah.
Was that when you came? Did you change things up, or how did it?
I started May of 2017, so I was definitely here when you were getting, drunk with your CEO.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just close the windows. There's some construction going on. All right, there we go. And so that's that, you know, the interior completely blew me away.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, yeah, this place has changed. It's really nice. Yeah. Nice to be back though. All the drunk nights by the stairs, man. That's what I remember.
Right. Oh man.
Good.
Well,
times.
It changed a little bit again. We went through a renovation just before the pandemic hit. So the whole second floor has now been newly renovated. We have a VIP room that we rent out as well. And the whole second floor, the feel is different, not in. And the stairs that you mentioned is also different as well. So please do come by whenever you have another chance.
I gotta get back. I miss, that's the stuff I miss about Makati, man. That culture you technically, well, you know, on a different level, you don't find in the other CBDs. I don't know about you, but it's really intimate the way it is in Makati. Just on moving
poblacion pa lang.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? The feel of almost every bar that was up in poblacion before the pandemic was that really intimate, maliliit lang yung lugar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good cocktails and, you know, it was working.
It had so much character. Each and every place that you went to, there was a specific crowd, right? Yeah. And there'd be something about it that you just couldn't find anywhere else.
Exactly. You know, every bar had its own character, but all of Poblacion together was its own separate character as well. So.
Actually, that's very true. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where I spent my weekends was in Poblacion.
Why not, right?
How do you measure like the amount of attention you put towards, or not really measure, but how do you also do marketing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not on an expert level or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I you know, take pictures of the bar, of the food, of the drinks, and I post it on our social media. Yeah.
Right. Oh, so it's you. That's you as well.
Yeah. Well, me, and two of the other partners.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
It's
cool.
Combined effort.
Yeah. Because just like a, you know, Bugsy's versus any other place, I wouldn't think that Bugsy's would need to hard sell as much as the other guys, because again, you guys have been there for such a long time now.
Yeah. And I like to call it a Tito brand.
Yeah, that's actually very true. It's a Tito brand.
You know, I mean, the brand has been around since 2008. So a lot of our, a lot of the college graduates at that time in 2008 are a bunch of Titos now that come around Saturday night and drink.
Oh, that's true. We actually, oh man, speaking of Tito brand, we used to go to Bugsy's to watch. What did we watch? I think it was a Pacquiao fight. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And like I said, all of that was happening before the pandemic.
Yeah.
We'd have Pacquiao fights, UFC fights, NBA playoffs, NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I think we also watched NBA playoffs there.
So, I mean, we're a sports bar, so we tried to be able to show as much sporting events as we could.
Yeah. What's, would you happen to know how they came up with the
the theme besides, because I'm not sure if there were any other speakeasies back in the day, except for Exit.
I don't think there was, but from what I know is that the original partners thought of a place for them to hang out with their friends on a on a weekend, and at the same time make a little money. Why not? It's a normal thing, let's put up a bar where we can make money, and at the same time we can go and hang out, they did that. And they were really into the whole John Dillinger gangster.
I remember those.
The vibe. They came up with Bugsy's, right? So Bugsy Siegel, Benjamin Siegel, his nickname is Bugsy, is a gangster in the United States. He was originally from New Jersey, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, but he was really the one that started the whole illegal gambling, gangster thing in Las Vegas.
So he moved to Las Vegas.
So, that whole, the God, I'm sure everybody knows The Godfather, right? Mm-hmm. The Untouchables and all those gangster movies always end up somewhere in Vegas. And the reason why that is, all those gangsters did that, is because Benjamin Bugsy Siegel was the one that did that. He, did his money laundering and his illegal gambling stuff through the casino that he owned. So they thought, well, let's name it Bugsy's. So that's,
that's literally where it came from.
Yeah. And that's why when you come here, we've got, gangster pictures all up in the wall. It's still kind of like old school, like a hidden room kind of feel that we have. And, that's where it all started.
At what point did they, how did you get in contact with them, or how did you guys end up working together?
Yeah, well, like I said, in 17, I moved here to start my own food and beverage consulting business, providing, to staff, front of the house, kitchen staff, analyzing profit and loss, and just to kind of help these small, independently owned bars and restaurants in becoming profitable and giving good service. I used to get, or I still do actually, get my haircuts at Felipe and Sons.
Which one?
BGC.
Okay.
Yeah. Coincidentally, the one of the partners here at Bugsy's is also a partner at Felipe and Sons. So I had a conversation with him while getting a haircut, and he and I exchanged numbers, and he asked me to come to Bugsy's to take a look at his bar, and everything. The rest is history, as they say.
Cool. And when you got there, was it initially? It was initially as a partner, right? They brought you in as a consultant.
Yeah. Oh, I came in as a consultant.
Actually, real quick, did you get any other client?
I did. I also helped Chocolat, which at that time it was they were in front of Miriam College.
I remember. Yeah. Wait. What do they serve?
It's like a coffee shop slash like pastry. They make their own pastries and desserts.
Was this the one underground, or was that the burger place?
No, in the underground. They were operating out of like an old like 1960s, mid-century house on Katipunan, and they also had a branch in Libis, and they have like a small little booth in Green Hills, so a promenade where the movie theater is. So I did them, I signed on with them for about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I helped them, with obviously front of the house training, service training, food training, all that stuff. I did that before I came on to help Bugsy's.
And like coming into a business, what would be the first thing that you look at?
Service
talaga. Yeah. Actually. And I would imagine that's also the both the most complicated yet the easiest thing to change. Would that be
correct.
True?
That is absolutely true.
And then after customer service, what would it be?
Food and beverage quality.
Right. And did you end up changing a couple of the stuff?
I did. Obviously, you have to look at every item. Once I partnered on here, I was able to dig my hands a little deeper on the cost of every meal, the cost of every cocktail, the cost of every bottle of beer. So, you know, I adjusted here and there to make sure that we were still, you know, we were cost effective and at the same time maintaining a good profit margin. So, yeah, you know, like changes like that happen. I mean, because obviously sometimes the cost of baboy goes up out of
the blue. Yeah, that's true.
You know, all of a sudden, before you know it, the 300 pesos of plate of sizzling sisig has to go up, you know, 75 pesos. So, you know, cost always adjusts. But training the staff and service has to be constant.
Right.
Constant.
Do you have an annual plan or is it a quarterly or?
No, weekly.
Whoa, weekly.
Yeah.
Holy, I didn't expect that.
No, no. When I worked in Boston, I worked for the Crown Plaza Hotels and Resorts in Natick, Massachusetts. And I probably worked about 50 hours a week, 50, 55 hours a week. And I can honestly tell you that the majority of that time was spent training the staff.
Whoa.
Yeah. So good service. To be able to give good service, your training has to be constant. And that's what I always tell bars and restaurants and owner, you know, friends that own is that you always have to have a budget for training because training is constant. Kasi if you have, kunwari, sisig, right? You already have your recipe.
Uh-huh.
You already know how to make it.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't train the cook properly, hindi magiging sisig yung lasa.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Specifically for like the restaurant as a brand.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or if, you know, beer will always taste like beer. San Miguel beer will always taste like San Miguel beer.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the cost will go up and down. That's fine.
Uh-huh.
Pero if you don't train the server how to carry a tray na may anim na bote ng beer, they're going to fall flat on their face. It's just training can be the smallest thing to like the, you know, to be the be all end all of the whole operation. It could be something as simple as carrying a tray with dirty plates and silverware on it.
Yeah.
Or it could be something as complicated or as in-depth as yun nga. Your mentality has to be at every single table or every single butt that's sitting down, that's paying, your mentality has to be genuine caring service. You always have to be, you know, smiling. You always have to, you know, give this personalized service wherein they feel at home, because if they feel at home, they'll spend money.
Yeah. And they keep on coming back as well.
Absolutely.
Because that's how we felt back in the day as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they keep coming back. They'll tell their friends and then their friends will tell their friends. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you got a full bar.
What amount of attention do you put to the ambiance of the place as well?
I'd say equal amount of attention to the food and beverage offering. Service is number one, right? You know, I'd say 60-40. 60% training, 40% of the food and beverage and the ambiance. Because no one likes to eat or sit down at a dirty table. Or
actually, that's very true.
You know what I mean? Or sit at a table that's next to a window, pero puro handprints naman yung window.
So it's it does still get down. I mean, go back to service, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can have such a decked out place, but then if it isn't, you know, if it's
dirty, dingy, or it smells wrong, the lights are pundido yung ibang ilaw, or there's no music, or you know, anything like that can throw people off.
I've always thought, whenever my friends ask me what I think about, you know, business. I mean, what business would be great to start? I never say a restaurant or anything involved with food, because I firmly, firmly think it is probably one of the most difficult, besides freaking, you know, space science, for example.
Right.
Building a restaurant is so difficult. But go ahead.
No, go.
On the end, like, visually for Filipinos, right? Mm-hmm. Visually, or in their heads, starting a food business is so easy. just because the barriers of entry aren't too much. But then when they realize the scope of the amount of competitors, the amount of attention that you have to put,
they're in over their heads,
right? That's what I always say. My friend's like, hey, listen, I'm looking for a spot because I want to start a restaurant. I'm like, are you a chef? Because last time I checked, you were working at a financial institution. And they're like, yeah, but you know, I've got this really good idea. And
You know. Well, I mean, that is one of the reasons why I had that idea to move here to be a consultant, right? To help people, because there's so many bars and restaurants independently, you know, privately owned, that are just mismanaged.
Yeah.
Right.
So much capital and time wasted, really.
Correct. Right. If it's easy to run or operate a bar and restaurant, if you even have just a little bit of an idea of how to do it, but if you have no clue and you've got a lot of money and you want to open something up, before you know it, that money's gone. The first two quarters of your operation, that's gone. So it's really a challenge for some people, right? Because like you said, you know, a guy who has a, you know, BPO experience, all of a sudden, you know, has money and wants to open a place because he's got a good idea. Okay, fine. He can do that because he's got the money.
Yeah.
But can he keep it running well? Mm-hmm. If he has no idea how to do it, then that's not going to last.
That's exactly. And this is also something that I almost always try to teach everyone that I mentor, or everyone that I give my opinion to, is, you know, like building a business has become some sort of a, some people have become manic towards it, where they like all logic is thrown out the window the moment they feel the rush of, you know, having the capability to build something. And this is something that I tell my parents as well, because they've been asking me to if they can try out a restaurant, because they can. Uh-huh. And I said, listen, if we're going to build something like this, it's got to be a legacy business where you build it now and it'll be alive in 50 or 100 years.
Right.
That's the only time when it absolutely means something for me. And I feel like this needs to be told to a lot of people that do want to start a restaurant or a pub or a bar in a place and time where there's a lot. There's really a lot. And I think that's the mindset that they have to, you know, they have to really dig deep into. It's not simple.
It's not. If you look at the big picture, it's really hard. It's really hard, right? Mm-hmm. Because so many things have to fall into place. So many people have to have the right mindset for it to work. Pero the execution of it is easy. Like I said, you have to have good location, good food, good beverage, good service, and everything should fall into place.
Yung four na yun talaga, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you've got good food and you've got good beverage and you've got good service, but you're located in Pasay next to, you know, runway 59 of Ninoy Aquino International Airport, no one's going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you could be located in the middle of BGC, you have got great food, good beverage, but your service, you know, Mang Inasal servers are more attentive than the people that, you know, working for you. And you're screwed as well. So it's that, you know, and then obviously, you know, I shouldn't have to mention, but obviously you have to be able to manage the financial side of things.
Yeah, that's like being able to manage inventory and anticipating the amount of traffic that you get. Like having someone order something and it isn't available is one of the most irritating things.
It is.
For customers.
It is. But on the management side of things, it's also inevitable.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, that's true.
You try your best to make sure that you have enough stock of beer to be able to sell every bottle of beer that you have on the menu. But sometimes, maubusan ka talaga.
Yeah, actually, that's
true. And sometimes
true.
San Miguel gets a little delayed because of the traffic to get the beer to you, but eventually you'll get it. And usually, you know, when people complain, you know, my staff come and get me and I go and have a conversation with a guest and I, you know, I butter them up and I'll say, listen, I don't have any more Sun Mig Light, but, you know, I've got, you know, Stella Artois. It's a little bit on the expensive
get
side.
Get that Stella in your body.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit on the expensive side, but guess what? You know, I'll sell it to you for the price of a, you know, of a San Miguel.
What, really? You know, holy.
Yeah, 100, you know, 100 out of 100 times they'll take it and they'll forget their complaint and before you know it, they'll be back and they'll be happy.
That's amazing.
And you got to be able to, because if you understand the cost, right, of every bottle that you have in your inventory, and if you cost it right, your margins should be able to, of every bottle, your bottle margin should be able to give you some room to be able to give something away just to kind of get the guy to shut up. Excuse my language. Just to get the guy to shut up and not complain.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and also just the retention, you know, you do that and anyone that understands what a Stellar is versus what a Sun Mig Light is, they will come back one way or another.
I always tell the staff, you know, they're always so scared. I said, you know, if nei ines yung table, you know, you have to go the extra mile and say, listen, I understand that, you know, your entree is taking a little bit longer. Maybe you can pick something off the appetizer. You know, I'll give that to you, you know, at a discount or a manager's discount or whatever. I always tell them, don't be afraid. Just go. Just give the guests what they need. If they inip sila because matagal yung pagkain, offer them something that's quick and easy to kind of get them to appease them a little bit. And at the same time, you know, that's bogey points because you're going out of your way to make sure that, you know, they're happy with their experience here.
That's amazing, man. I haven't actually spoken to a lot of people involved in the restaurant business.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I will not come across someone who gives this I mean who actually knows the technicalities of what excellent service is, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, go please.
And hopefully I'd be more than happy to promote your stuff, bro, because it is direly in need. Real quick on the pandemic, what's the situation? What's the game plan heading into the first quarter of next year?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, this pandemic has hit the business pretty hard. I mean, obviously it's hit everybody pretty hard. You know, we operated all throughout, you know, as soon as we weren't able to accept dine-in guests, we stayed open for deliveries and for take. And then it was such a challenge because it felt like every man for himself, you know, I was just trying to make sure that people knew, okay, we can't go out to eat. We have to deliver. Okay. Well, Bugsy's is still here. You know, we're in the middle of all these condos here on Forbestown. And I was just trying to do whatever I could to make sure that people knew that we were open. And it was such a challenge trying to let everybody know that we were operating and we were still serving. So I came up with this idea because obviously Mercato, you know that barbecue place here on 7th Ave, that closed down as well. So I thought to myself, all right, well, every afternoon, even if, you know, people would still take their dogs out for a walk, I put out a barbecue grill and, you know, I was standing outside in front of the grill making, you know, selling barbecues, you know, pork barbecue and isaw ng manok.
Yeah.
You know, just to let everybody know that, hey, we're still open. And then so now,
dude, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. And so I knew that once things started opening up, meaning the economy and the quarantines, I knew that people are going to remember that one bar that stayed open throughout.
Holy crap. No, I can imagine how that worked.
Yeah. And so thankfully, knock on wood, it paid off. You know, as soon as we were able to accept dine-in customers, everybody came. You know, we are now operating from 12 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. just before the curfew. And you know, we you know, we can only sit 50% of our capacity, our, uh-huh. our maximum capacity. But I mean, we were last Saturday, we were full. We had a waiting list. And so we're rocking and rolling, and I'm grateful for that. You know, it's a long time coming. That whole, you know, 6-7 months was a killer. And, you know, I'm glad we were able to survive it. And, you know, now we're not out of it yet, but we're certainly making a turn for the better.
Have you changed the menu? Because, I mean, did you serve Iso prior?
No, we didn't. Right. But, you know, I knew that Mercato was closed, and I know Mercato is hopping because of
that. Yeah. The really huge giant ones.
Yeah. And so we didn't have Isao before that, but, you know, I was like, you know, we got to do what we got to do to survive. I changed the menu. I actually made it a lot smaller to save on cost. Mm-hmm. You know, we have 80 peso rice bowls, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, you can have a sisig, a chicken adobo, caldereta, rice bowl for 80 pesos.
Just, you know, real quick, how long does it take for a brand like yours to change menu? Like on the decision making and the chef end.
Well, right now we haven't had an executive chef since 2019. So I've been operating as, and in no way whatsoever am I saying I'm a chef, but I mean, in my experience, I've worked with enough chefs.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That I can actually at least try and get away with it. Yeah. And so I've done the front of, you know, I've been doing the front of the house operations and managing, quote unquote, managing the kitchen with, you know, good and able cooks.
But, right.
I can probably change the menu in a matter of 3 weeks. You know, that's coming up.
That's also pretty quick.
Yeah. You know, I come up with, you know, an idea. You know, I talk to my purchaser and I say, hey, how much does this cost? If I want, like, you know, a different, if I want sisig or something like that, you know, how much is baboy? How much is onions and all of this stuff? And he gives me the cost. I have the cooks cost it out, then we taste it. And if it's good, then, you know, I present it to the partners and everybody likes it. I'll add it onto the list. Another week to design the menu, you know, the literal design of the menu, and then another week to print it. And then, you know, like I said, in a month, we can have a new menu out.
And do you have a test phase or do you push it out completely?
You know, for, yeah, we do have a test phase. Yeah, absolutely. For some items like sisig, you know, everybody knows what sisig tastes like. You know, obviously, we don't really have to have a test phase. It's just,
right.
You know what I mean? They'll say, sir, okay na yung sisig, tikman nyo. I'll go down and I'll taste it and I'll say, yep, you know, kulang ng calamansi or whatever.
Yeah.
And then but then there are some items that are obviously more intricate, like, you know, like a hamburger, right? Because hamburger is not Pinoy. Although, you know, there's plenty of Pinoy versions of hamburger, but we want to have a hamburger that's, you know, more catered to the Western taste of our clients, right? So, you know, I'll go in there. I'll make sure that, you know, it's built right with, you know, lettuce, tomato, onion, and the patty is nice and meaty and juicy, and, you know, that's something. You know, some items like that require a test phase, but not all.
Right. Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I think on a level of should I put this out to the people and will they eat it or will they go for it? I think when it comes to that, I don't think you'll ever find, I don't know if, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you'll ever find like a winning formula that when you want to introduce something that it just pops, right? It's always just
sometimes it just clicks.
Right.
You know, you have to try everything.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the fun of operating, you know, a business like this, is that same with cocktails. You know what I mean? Whoever thought that Jack Daniels and calamansi juice would go well together? You know, they do. And you got to be able to try everything because, you know, everybody's always, you know, especially here in the Philippines, everybody's ready and willing and waiting to try something new.
Yeah, that's true. It's like ever since it started, right? Ever since the food wave started,
yeah.
It's never really slowed down. I just observing from a different end of the spectrum and observing people, you know, start restaurants and start, you know, the next big craze or hop on to the next big craze, like milk tea, for example.
Right.
You'd think that it would slow down at a point, but really it just, you know, all it just the, keep, yeah, right? It just keeps on going.
On to give you an idea of my thinking of where I am is that, you know, all right, well, everybody loves milk tea. Mm-hmm. I obviously don't have milk tea. I'm a bar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I'll think of milk tea cocktails with boba, you know, boba pearls made of vodka or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you got to be able to have that switch that gets you that creative part of things.
Yeah, you kind of really, you have to be, you have to, like, weird, it's really weird for me to say this, but like just the hyper awareness that restaurant owners and people operating restaurants have to have in order to really just get out there and make it. And again, not a lot of people see this stuff. And hopefully for the people watching, you're enjoying this because I'm, you know, this is like, I've never gone through a conversation like this before where just the intricacies of what it is to run a restaurant to this level. I have spoken to a couple of guys who, you know, not to say that they're passive, but just very, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're probably just 2. And,
right.
You know, I think this is what would make a great restaurant.
You have to be, as an owner, you have to be hands-on 100%. Not micromanage, but you have to make sure that your staff who work for you, who you pay, you know, who you pay to work for you, understand what you want, you know, and you all have to have a common goal. Like you can't be a restaurant owner and feel all high and mighty like, oh, may bar ako sa BGC, ganyan, ganyan, and expect it to just, you know, be the best bar ever. You can't. If that's why I can explain things to you so intricately, because, you know, I'm as hands-on as I'm shoulder to shoulder with the bartender. I'm shoulder to shoulder with the receptionist, the servers, you know, with the guys in the kitchen. And that's how you can be successful. As also on the staff, on the employee side of things, they appreciate you, you know, a hell of a lot more if they know that as soon as, you know, the proverbial, you know, bleep hits the fan and bizna, they know that our boss is there. He's not just preaching, but he's also there guiding us every step of the way during this whole busy couple hours on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And he's shaking, you know, cocktails and opening bottles of beer and serving tables. That's how you got to do it.
Uh-huh.
You got to be hands-on. You know, you can't.
And you become happy both sides as well, you know,
of course.
On the staff side and the owner's side.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's also what makes it really just a great business in general.
It doesn't happen too often, but
there
have been times where I can actually stand off, you know, on the other side of the street and look at the bar and see every seat full, hear people laughing. I can hear glasses clinking to
man, so magical.
And all the servers are running around and serving and smiling. So, you know, that's at the end, if I can stand back and do that at the end of the night, and I'll feel 100%, you know, it's worth it.
Before we end the show, I would just like to thank everyone listening right now. I know it's kind of weird that we don't have a live version, but again, once I get my internet sorted out, we will be back, I think, but only probably just once a month or twice a month. I really like to keep the sanity of this, of having running a show as a podcast versus running it live. Also, I just found out that my new business, Go Shots, will be launching probably by the end of the week. I thought it would be next week, but I think we're getting everything up and running. So if you want to check it out, we're on goshots.ph on Instagram and Go Shots on Facebook. We serve raw, unpasteurized, 100% juice, cold-pressed juice shots, which are half ginger based and the other half is turmeric based. So check us out on Instagram. Please, please order if you want a boost in your metabolism, weight loss, and get your gut a good cleanse. I kind of stumbled right there. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. Before we end the show, would you, Paolo, like to give a couple of tips for people that want to begin their restaurant journey?
One is, especially now during the pandemic, you have to be patient and you have to have a solid plan of action every step of the way, every phase, from how much money are you going to put out, where are you going to be, what are you going to be serving, what kind of concept is your bar, and how much are you actually willing to spend? Because, you know, the operational expenditures are through the roof, and it's not, and you have to be patient because you're not going to see any kind of return anytime soon because, like I said, of the pandemic that we're in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're patient enough, you've got enough, you know, capital in hand, and you believe in what you want to do and your concept, then you have to focus on service. Service and everything else will fall into place as long as you follow the vision that you have.
What's a win situation like when it comes to ROI for restaurants?
Like six probably months. Realistically, no. You gotta think like you're in the hole for at least a year and a half.
Right.
Realistically, you know, when you're starting out, you've got this new concept that nobody knows about. You know, Everybody goes to, you know, Bank Bar, or everybody goes to, you know, their own places in QC or their own places. So you have to think you're coming up with this whole new concept that is completely foreign to everybody.
Right.
That no one is gonna know of, and probably until about, you know, 4 or 5 months into operation. And even then, konti pa lang tao pupunta. You're going to have to wait until, you know,
it really settles in.
Start getting the word out. So, you know, that's why I said you got to be patient, because, you know, you're really not going to see any of the, you know, quote unquote green until probably about a year and a half. And that is if you succeed. You have to have good marketing. You have to have good product and obviously good service as well.
Yeah. I think guys, the biggest takeaway for this show is just the eye-opening information that Paolo has given us, you know, when it comes to great service. And achieving that really requires a lot of training and before training, it requires a lot of attention as to what level of dedication that you could give towards doing this. But ideally, the way that everything has panned out in this conversation is, it is way, way up there on a scale of priorities when it comes to building a business.
It's often overlooked.
Overlooked. Right, right.
Everybody's so focused on the presentation of things. How clean your bar is, where your bar is, who goes to your bar. You know what I mean? And the food and how it's presented on a plate, or your cocktails and how it's presented in a glass, but it's often overlooked on, you know, who's actually serving it.
Now, and this goes up beyond restaurants, actually, you guys. For the people listening that are building any business whatsoever, like I always say on any other podcast, a high level of empathy is required to be able to make that connection. You never will be able to sell any product at all if you do not know who you're going to sell to and what they feel and what they and what they perceive your product to be, you know.
Absolutely.
and going beyond just having the in product, you know, or having a product that you feel like you have social leverage, meaning it is trending, or you know, you've got a niche that you're targeting, or in the absence of niche, just a great product. It still all boils down to what your character is when you're building that business, and how your character communicates outwards to your customers.
Correct. You have to have that connection with the people that you're selling to.
Yeah. All right. Great show. Oh, would you like to promote anything? Anything that?
Yes, please. Yeah. If I can just do a plug for Bugsy Sports Bar and Bistro here in BGC, unit 126-127 Forbes Town Road, Burgos Circle, right close to the Mine Museum. You know, we're open every day from 12 p.m. and we make last call at 10:30 because of the curfew. And you know, if you're down to just, you know, out on a date with your significant other or a barcada gathering, you know, we've got sports on the TV, we've got ice cold beer, we've got great, you know, pulutan, Pinoy pulutan. We also have, you know, Western themed pulutan as well. And then also I'm still outside in the front, you know, the front door, you know, cooking up pork barbecue and iso as well every day. So please come down. I'd love to share a drink with you guys and you know, sit down at a table and laugh. And I try and meet every single guest and try and get to know everybody and make everybody feel at home while they're enjoying their time here. So please come down, ask for Paulo, and I'd love to meet every single one of you, especially you, Mark. I'd love to sit down and ask.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now that everything's loosening up, I should be able to visit. I might come over to come and see Mike as well.
Oh, please do. Yeah, yeah.
We'll hang there.
I always see him walking around, and like I said, he stops by for a couple of sticks of barbecue and a beer as well. So,
for sure. All right, great episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, man. The pleasure is mine. This has been an episode that I completely enjoyed. I'm really happy with my internet went online. I thought I was gonna have to cancel.
Oh no!
You know,
I can always do it again.
I could have easily done it through data, but it would have been unstable, and I wouldn't want you to be repeating anything. So I'm really happy that internet came back on. But thank you so much. Such a pleasure. Hopefully I get to meet you soon. Send me your contact details as well for your consultancy services if you're still accepting, because bro, trust me, there's so many people that need your help right now. If you can actually make content yourself, that'll probably work for you. If you have the time for it, obviously, but.
Right. Well, no, that's actually something that I'm looking to kick up again because, you know, now is the time, right? Because people are either have survived this whole quarantine period and trying to get things back up and running. You know, and I would love to be able to lend my expertise and help, you know, bars and restaurants to get up and running and that's something that's on my list to do is to get my consultancy business up and running, and you know, any kind of help that you know, your show can do, I greatly appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that Descarte does, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'll make sure to promote your details and any content that you'll be putting out.
elitehosp solutions@gmail.com. That's elitehosp solutions@gmail.com. You know, just shoot me an email, you know, just, you know, give me a brief description of what's going on. I usually go to their restaurant or the establishment unannounced, and I go there and I analyze, you know, shop the whole place, and then from then I make the presentation of how things move forward. It's pretty simple like that, but you know, it's also effective. So
really cool.
I appreciate that chance to put the plug in there.
All right. Cool. No worries. All right. That's it, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. Just send me a DM if you've got any questions for Paulo, or send him an email directly. He'd be more than happy to help you out. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next episode. And as I always say, keep smart, keep calm, and appreciate the small things. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.
Awesome.